Well, Shabbat Shalom on today's Shabbat. God bless everyone today. And let me start the video. Let's see, it's over here. I always have to lower this.
You have the right size.
Oh, okay, there you go. Shrink that, put that up there, and we're ready.
All right.
Shabbat Shalom. Well, it's very nice to be here. I think this is our second Sabbath of the year, of the Gregorian year 2017. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabah Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, and Shabbat Shalom. Here we are in a place called Hohenwald, Tennessee, on Maple Street, 27 South Maple Street. There's our phone numbers. There's our email address. There's our website. If you'd like to email me, you can just go to ministermalachi@comcast.net. My ministry is a teaching ministry. And before we get into everything, we'll pray and ask God to bless and anoint this reading today. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we come to you humbly, asking you first to cover us in your holy blood of any sin that we do ignorantly, not presumptuously. Forgive us, Lord and God, for anything we do. Bless and anoint this Sabbath, and I praise and thank you, your living God, that you forgive us our sins that we're not even aware of, that they're sin. Help us, Lord and God, be perfect like you. Teach us, Lord and God, we're just dust. Bless this day, bless this Sabbath, bless the study. Let it be fruitful for everyone. Give us, increase our faith, increase our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Be with us today in a special way, Lord and God, the King of the universe. We always give you the praise and the thanks, knowing that there's none else like you. I pray you'll heal everyone that needs healing in their bodies, spiritually, physically, mentally. Help us all, Lord and God. And I pray you rebuke the devil, the adversary, away from us today. Give us shalom on your holy Sabbath. Show us where the guests are. We'll go get them. Or if you know of any, bring them to us, Father. Heavenly Father, bless this day. Bless everything that's done today. Let it be to the glory of the living God. And I thank God for every brother and sister that you have already brought. And we know there's so many more. May God bless everyone today on the Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Amen. My ministry is a teaching ministry, and I like to bring up subjects and topics that have not been discussed maybe in your life. Most conversations out there, normal in the natural people, they never heard of most of these things. Anyway, my website is running back there. Thank God I learned how to do that, and I need to learn more. You could read my studies. You could watch my studies. You could download my studies. So I'm doing audio, video, and text forms. I don't know if we're streaming right now. We're not streaming. For some strange reason, I've been trying to fix that. I'll have to call Comcast, Charter, and see what's going on. Anyway, you can always watch my studies later in the video format. Today, you'll just have to listen. Let's see. Today is January 14th, 2017. This month is flying by already, and it's the month of Janus, unfortunately. And that's the Greek god, the Roman god of gates and doorways. Isn't that sick? And we say it so naturally, January. However, most people never heard of its god's 10th month. We're in the month of Tevet, the 15th day. So, and there, that's found in Esther. We could prove that. We just can't verify January. And that's part of January and February 2017. Today's topic, and I don't know how it came to me, but today's topic is something I never talked about. So great a cloud of witnesses. And I wanted to do the first recap of the first 4,000 years in the Bible. And it's not going to be that long. It's not going to take 4,000 years to get over this study. Okay. In this study, you'll find hundreds of witnesses to the fact that there is a God, and it's the God of Israel. It's not possible that collusion played a part in this series of 66 books due to the fact that many of the witnesses never met each other and lived hundreds of years apart. So you know, when you really think about all the people that we read about, and you have to know that they're real people. They're not just, you know, fictitious characters in a book, but these are actual people that lived. There are many witnesses of miraculous events, even the resurrection of Yeshua himself from the dead. They gave witness to a spiritual life after death in a place called eternity. And that's one thing we're looking forward to, is the eternity with God. As Paul puts it, there's a natural body and a spiritual body. That's found in the letter to the Corinthians. There it is right there, a natural body and a spiritual body. So believe it or not, we have two different bodies. And one day we'll shed this one, and thank God we'll be in a spiritual place. I'm always thinking about Deuteronomy 19:15, where it says, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sins." And of course, at the mouth of two or more witnesses, or three, shall the matter be established. And I believe that. So we have hundreds of witnesses verifying that there is a God and that he's eternal and it's the God of Israel. And, you know, it's not just one or two, and it's not over just, you know, a week or two. It's over years and years. So please find below testimonies of many witnesses that venture their lives unto death. You know, while these witnesses have nothing to gain physically or monetarily, as the saying goes, some people know they are living a lie, but they will not die for that lie. Do you understand that? Because if it's a lie, you know, and they might be perpetrating a lie and trying to trick people, but they're not going to die for a lie. So these people in the Bible actually ventured their lives right unto death, you know, and that's really amazing. Let's read again some of those witnesses. We read this last night, but I wanted to read it again because it really means a lot to me, because these are actual people that lived on the earth. And it's all about faith, of course. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things that which do appear. And what that's basically saying is, you know, like in the beginning God created the light and the darkness, and he had to create the physical sun and moon to even understand, for us to understand what that's all about. Because there was a light and darkness before there was a sun and moon. And there was a beginning of a day. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet spoke. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch is always someone I always think about too. That just think, one day he didn't come home to his wife or whoever that was there. He just was gone. That's pretty amazing to think about. And that's an actual person that lived on the earth. So he was just taken because he was so righteous. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For anyone that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And of course, we have a witness here called Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And that's the way we're sort of like little Noahs today, you know, because we're preaching that one day there's going to be a fire that's going to burn this place to a crisp. Not today, but in someone's lifetime. Just like Noah, he preached for 100 years, and in someone's lifetime, you know, many, many years later, there was a flood. Right? He preached for a long time. Yeah. By faith, Abraham, here's another witness. There was an actual Abraham. When he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He went out by faith. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Just think, Abraham came first, right? They weren't even around yet, Isaac and Jacob, right?
Right.
For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's what the way we have to be. We have to look past everything down here on this planet and look for this eternal kingdom of God that one day will be with him. Through faith, here's another testimony. That's why the Bible says the testimonies of God are sure, you know. And here's another testimony. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed when she was delivered of age, when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God promised it. And therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. That's how many testimonies and witnesses we have. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth, on the earth. And that's what way we have to feel. This is not our resting, you know, this is just us, we're just sojourning here for the time God allowed us to be on this planet. But we're looking for another city whose builder, you know, and this kingdom whose builder and is God. For they that say such things, we declare plainly that we seek a country, and it's not this country. And, you know, if they were probably not of God and not and out of the Spirit, if they've been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned, which would have been a bad thing. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, which we are. That's the way we feel. We're of God. It's not a shame to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. So we have to believe all this by faith, that there's a city that God is preparing for us. And these are testimonies that testified of these things. So these are witnesses. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called, accounting that God was able even to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. These are actually all witnesses. These are actually real people. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, another testimony, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and he gave commandment concerning his bones. Amen. And then we move on to Moses, another testimony, another witness. When he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Of course, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. It's just for a season. Everyone that thinks they're really getting over on this planet and not keeping the commandments of God, they don't realize their time is going to run out one day, no matter how long it takes. They're still going to meet the Lord, right? Esteeming the reproach of Christ, we have to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in this world or in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that's what we have to remember. Our God is invisible. He's in another dimension or another, I don't know what you'd call it. It's just beyond the universe. He's really there, and he's also here, which is a miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, Moses passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. This is all real testimonies, real stories. These are not just, you know, little fairy tales or fictitious stories. He went through the dry sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do. They were just drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho. I mean, this is a real event. When you read these stories, that you have to think of them. These are real stories. These are actual events. The walls of Jericho just fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, their harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So, Those are just, there's so many witnesses just in those few sentences there, and testimonies, that we're not alone when we say that there's a living God and that he's eternal. Please find below some of the witnesses. And remember, I told you many of these people never met each other and lived hundreds of years apart. So let's review the construction of Scripture. There's 66 books and letters. That's all we have. You know? And I like the way Yeshua put it. He said that were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning him, all the prophecies. So we have something called this word Tanakh, which is just an acronym for the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. Tanakh has 39 books, you know. Torah is the first five books, and that has 187 chapters of events and stories and miraculous things taking place and just amazing testimonies and witnesses. So when people say today, you know, where's your witnesses? The Bible is just inundated with witnesses. Genesis has 50 chapters of witnesses and testimonies. Exodus has 40 chapters. Leviticus has 27 chapters. And the reason why I'm doing this is to show you the Bible is just full of miracles and stories and things to do and things not to do. Just that you have to look at it in many different ways. Numbers has 36 chapters. Deuteronomy has 34 chapters of amazing instructions. Here we have Joshua, who's Yehoshua. He has 24 chapters of events, things that he accomplished in his life. And that was a real lifetime. It wasn't just a make-believe. Then we have all the judges that were there, the Shoftim, 21 chapters of events and miraculous things took place. We have Ruth. She has 4 chapters of things that took place. And there's a lot of stories there about even the Messiah's lineage in that. We have Shmuel, and there's 31 chapters. First, second has 24 chapters. Second Samuel. First Kings, Malachim, has 22 chapters. Second Kings has 25 chapters of all the kings and all the things you're not supposed to do, because most of them were wicked, right? So every testimony, whether good or bad, they're written for our admonition, for our admonishment, for our correction of things not to do, things to do, things to beware of. You know, and they may not be exactly what goes on today, but you could sort of, I always say that people are always the same no matter when they lived. And I always put them in a few categories, and I realize maybe their attributes overlap a little bit, but the parameters, there's only a few types of people in the world. And after you learn that, you can understand how to deal with almost every type of person that you meet. And that's just a way, a good thing to learn. We have these chronicles, Divrei HaYamim, you know, which is very important. That's the words of the years, you know, the chronicles. Second Chronicles has 36 chapters. First Chronicles had 29 chapters. Then we have a man called Ezra, and he has 10 chapters of events and things that he did. And you could look at each book a certain way. You know, when I look at the Bible, I always see it a different way for some reason. And I always think of, like, even the story of Ezra it's just packed with, you know, God events and things to do, and the building of temple and the rebuilding, I should say, of the temple, and Nehemiah. He has 13 chapters. Then we have Esther, who's Hadassah. She has 10 chapters. Of course, that takes in the whole, the genocide on the children of the Jews. They're trying to kill them. Haman, and of course, Mordecai and God interceded, and we see the miraculous thing that took place there. Then we have 42 chapters of a man called Yov. And, you know, it's amazing. 42 chapters of a person that had everything and then lost everything due to a trial that was placed upon him. And you never know when you're going to be tested. So we still have to, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's the way it works. Then we have a man and a couple of men, I should say, Asaph and David, in the Tehillim, the 150 songs that were, I don't know, they must have been songs, and we don't have the music today, and we don't have, because David played the harp, and he might have sang these, I don't know, and Asaph, and all the people that sang, there was so many singers back in those days. A lot of people don't even think of that sometimes. You think there's just singers today. There was a lot of singers back then. So we have 150 of these. And the thing that's sad about Solomon, he spoke 3,000 Proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. But we only have 31 chapters of Mishlei, Proverbs, and we have the Kohelet, 12 chapters, and Shir HaShirim, 8 chapters of the Song of Solomon. So we only have 8 chapters, but he says he has 1,005. We don't even have those. They were never discovered or found. But these are just living testimonies of things that were discovered, thank God, and we have them now. We have then, of course, the, I call these guys the, I call them the war horses. They were like the strength, boy, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Echa, which is Lamentations of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and there's 66 chapters, 52, 5, and 48 chapters of people that were selected to be prophets to warn Israel and to get them to repent, to no avail, of course. But they tried their best. And, you know, just think of these were actually real men, real people, just like a person that you'd meet today. You know, they're just a person. God selected them. Then we have the prophet Daniel. He has 12 chapters. Hosea has 14. Yoel has 3. And we have Amos has 9. And these are all actual living people that somehow was these records were preserved that we could read them today of real people with real events with amazing stories to tell. And that's why I always, you know, I'm always thinking about saving my hard drives with my record of who we were and what we are and what we believed. We have Ovadia, and we have Yonah, Micha, and Nahum. That's, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 chapters altogether of more events and prophesying against different cities and countries and things that took place. Then we have Habakkuk, 3 chapters, Nefaniah, 3, Haggai, 2, Zephaniah, Zechariah, 14, and Malachi, 4. And these are all actual, why, you know, they're all put in chapter form now, that we could actually read these chapters. And I always, in the world of biblical studies, I always hope they were placed in correct sentence structure because, you know, people decided to make the chapter a certain way. And that's even a discussion in higher criticism in biblical studies that, you know, there might have been different ways to place the sentences, but they, you know, I hope they did it right. We have to just believe that they did it right. So here are the first 39 books with hundreds of witnesses of a supernatural eternal God. Again, many of these people never met each other and lived hundreds of years apart. Don't you think that's amazing? I mean, just think about that. I mean, you know Noah never met Zechariah, right? But they all spoke of the same God and the same attributes of the God that they believed in. Just like, you know, you can take any of these people that I've just brought up. They chances are they never, I don't think Joel met David. Or I know he didn't meet Adam. What I mean is, like, there's so many testimonies of people. That's just incredible. Let's see. This takes me to... then we have the Gospels, the letters, and Acts, and Revelation. There's 27 more books and letters that were found, thank God. We have the four books called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we have Acts, a history, and then that's made into they're made into 27 chapters, Acts, you know. These first five books alone, just this Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, these first five books alone verify hundreds of prophecies in Scripture, written many years apart, of whom the Messiah would be, where he would be born, what his ministry would be, his life, death, and resurrection. So there really can't be, you can't really make a mistake when Yeshua fulfilled all the credentials needed to be the Messiah with many witnesses of these facts. There couldn't be any more Messiah come in the future because they had to come, you know, while the first temple was there. And they had it's impossible now. Anyone who thinks they're the Messiah, they're just, you know, they're going to be fictitious, fraudulent. In the book of Acts, we see, I love these kind of sentences where, you know, the apostles make sure they tell you, Yeshua showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What would you give to be there at that time, right in the middle of that conversation? Wow. I mean, you know, just to see a person known as the Messiah raised from the dead, and he's right before your eyes, and you've seen him was crucified and died on this cross, this tree, and he rose from the dead. That would be just a, you know, it's amazing. Just a... He showed himself alive after this by many infallible proofs. Paul tells us very simply that Yeshua was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. He actually showed up before all the apostles after his resurrection. After that, Yeshua was seen of about 500 brethren. Wow, that we don't even know about who they are. At once, of whom the greater part remain unto this day, but now they're all fallen asleep. They're all dead right now. And says, and after that, Yeshua was seen of James and then of all the apostles. Just think, Yeshua made sure he showed himself alive to prove that he rose from the dead. There is no, it wasn't, I know there's stories going around even today that he was hung, or maybe the hanging didn't really kill him. He got off there and snuck away. And there's all these stories out there. No, he wasn't hung. He was crucified, nailed to a tree. And last, Paul says, last of all, Yeshua was seen of me, Saul, as of one born out of due time. So here we have so many witnesses of the Messiah raising from the dead, and he is alive. Isn't that amazing? He's alive.
Amazing.
Amen. It really is a supernatural way of looking at the Scriptures, that these are real people with real stories, real testimonies. Here are some of the letters we have today. There's 21 in total. Saul, who's known as Paul, he wrote 14 letters. You guys are very familiar with all these letters to the Romans and the Corinthians. Oh, we have two letters to the Corinthians. We have one letter to the Romans. We have two letters to the Corinthians, one to the Galatians, one to the Ephesians, one to the Philippians, one to the Colossians. We have two to the Thessalonians. We have two Paul wrote to Timothy, one to Titus, one to Philemon, and one to the Hebrews. Then we have Brother James wrote a letter that they found, and we have Peter wrote two letters that were found. And John, he's a real favorite of mine. I love them all, but I mean, they're all my brothers and sisters, and John wrote three letters here. And of course, Jude wrote another letter. Then we come to the last section, which is called Revelation, which is made into 22 chapters, and it's such a supernatural book, and it's the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah, which God gave unto Yeshua to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And John is really a selected person by Yeshua. And he bore witness of the word of God and of the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah and of all things that he saw. And God told him to write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. So we have past, present at that point, and future events that we just have to wait and see how it all pans out, right?
Yeah.
And it's really supernatural. Then we have books mentioned in the scriptures that we don't have today, which is sort of amazing. In the book of Numbers, it says, "Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of Jehovah that he did it in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon." But my point is, we don't have the book of the wars of Jehovah. That's a book we don't have. In the book of Joshua, we don't have the book of Yasha. We have many fictitious books of Yasha today, which I'll go over one in a few moments. Let's see. Samuel mentions the book of Yasha. We don't have that, like I mentioned. 1 Kings mentioned a book of the Acts of Solomon. We don't have that book. We don't have the book of, written in the book of Samuel the seer and in the book of Nathan. We don't have the book of Nathan the prophet and the book of Gad the seer. We have the two books of Samuel, if that's the same one, but we don't have the one of Nathan or of Gad, which would have been supernatural to have to read. I'm sure there's amazing stories in those books. Let's see. Now, the rest of the Acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the... We don't have the book of Nathan, the prophet. I wonder what happened to that book. And in the prophecy, we don't have the prophecy of Ahijah, the Shilonite, and in the vision of Iddo, the prophet. We don't have that recorded anywhere. Against Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. We don't have that either. The rest of the Acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not? They're not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet. We don't have that book. I don't know if they'll ever find it. The book of Shemaiah the prophet, and in Iddo the seer, we don't have that book. Concerning genealogies. Let's see. We don't have the book of Yahu in 2 Chronicles. Or the book of the king. We have the book of the kings of Israel. I don't know if that's the same books. Maybe. In Ezra, it says the book of the records. I don't know if that's Chronicles. I don't think so. This says the book of the records, and let's see. It says that search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. We don't have that. So shall they find in the book of the records, and know that the city is in perilous, in a rebellious city. Who knows? I don't think we have any of that. That's the book of Ezra. In Jude, the letter of Jude, I noticed that a lot of people don't notice this, but I always try to bring this up. It never mentions or it never says a book of Enoch. It says, and Enoch also, the seven from Adam, prophesied of these. It might have been something that they had, a prophecy of Enoch. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. But we don't have that. We don't have any of those writings. So there's no book of Enoch, even though today there's fictitious books of Enoch. So a great cloud of witnesses I'm discussing, of people that came and gone, you know, and you know, you think, gosh, here we are all the way in this century, you know, here we are. Now we're the testimonies. We're the ones that have to carry on the banner of there's a living God. Even though against all the atheists and against all the religions that are coming against our religion, against our God, and we have to fight, you know, we have to somehow make a stand. In Hebrews 12, it says, "Wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," which I just read to you, that was a great, a great cloud of witnesses, and I probably didn't, maybe I, you know, forgive me if I didn't express it enough, but that was a lot of, probably more people than I can even explain. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we need patience. Looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We have to endure everything that comes at us. You might despise the shame, but is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. We have to consider Yeshua that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds when you try to go talk and people come against you. Don't get discouraged. You know, we have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin yet. Thank God. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son and daughter, despise not the chastening of Yehovah, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom Yehovah loves, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son and daughter whom he receives. Now if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons and daughters. For what son or daughter is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are you bastards and not sons or daughters. Furthermore, we all know we had our own fathers and fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, right? And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Remember, God is a spirit, and there's a whole spiritual world happening even as we're sitting here. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, our earthly parents, but the Father for our own profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Amen. Amen. Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Amen. Anyway, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And this is really important. Follow peace with all people that you meet, and holiness, without which no person shall see the Lord, Yeshua, or the Father. Just think, without holiness, you're not going to make it. It's a scary thing, actually. Looking diligently, that means diligently, lest any person fail of the grace of God. You could fail of the grace of God, that the church is always talking about the grace. You could fail of it. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, that's his testimony, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Doesn't that sound horrible? That's his testimony. We're left to read today. He was a real person. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. That's a scary place to be, no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. No, we should thank God that we're not come unto the mount that might be touched, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burns with fire, nor with black unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Just think, we should thank God that, you know, we're here today, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Can you imagine that? You know why? Because they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched a mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Phew. We're not, you know. And so terrible was the sight at the time of Moses that is recorded, his testimony. He said he exceedingly feared and quaked. And that's Moses. So who are we not to exceedingly fear and quake of our God and make sure every thought is in line with God and every thing that happens in our brain or every action and everything we do. And we have to always, I always ask God to forgive us. We're just dust, you know. But we're come unto the mount, says, but we are come unto the Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, a heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Amen. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So there are people with God today. They're made perfect. They're with him. And to Yeshua, the mediator of that New Testament, the New Covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. We have to make sure we see that we refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refuse him that spoke on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven? We have to believe this word is from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he had promised, and this is something we have to convey to people. God promises one day, yet God said, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven itself. Whew. That's a frightening thought. And this word, that's the same word I'm talking about, yet once more, signify it. It's going to be the removing of those things that are spoken, that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Amen. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, that's the kingdom we desire, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. Because our God is a consuming fire. That's why we have to be gentle to each other, kind to each other, merciful. Without mercy, you'll never make it either. He that has mercy will beget mercy. You know, and there's such an innumerable company of true witnesses, and that's, as forensic spiritual detectives, that's what we look for, the evidence, which I believe we found. And then we have the counterfeits, the contradictions in the Bible. In the book of Yasher, we have today. And if you want to read all this, these contradictions, you could read them. Well, I could read them to you, I guess, some of them. There are many contradictions to the Bible in the book of Yasher. Here are just a few. Like the book of Yasher says that Abraham went to the land of Canaan at the age of 50, then back to Haran and back to Canaan at the age 75. Our Bible just says that it doesn't. Our Bible states that Abraham was 75 when he departed from Haran. I mean, you know, and I gave a bunch of little things here, like states that one of the angels tells Abraham and Sarah that we will have a son, but Genesis says that God told Abraham. Anyway, you could just read all these things. I don't want to read them all to you. I just want to show you that, huh? No, the book of Yasher today is just a lie. It's fictitious. Like it says, Isaac Isaac dies according to the chronology of Yasher. Joseph was in Egypt. But in Genesis 35, Isaac died before Joseph had his dreams. So, you know, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could read. I wanted to just get to the bottom of this. Anyway, I wanted to show you. Anyway, get to over here. There's a lot of things that, a lot of mistakes. But I want to just check out this. I don't even know who the author is of the Book of Yasher today that we have circulating. But I think it's their crazy imagination. Listen to this. This is Yasher 7:24-30. This passage says that the skins that God made for Adam and his wife went to Enoch after their death. Then to Methuselah, then to Noah, then Ham stole them and gave them to Cush. It's a crazy imagination. Then it says, then they were passed to Nimrod, who became strong when he put on the magic garments. And it says Esau kills Nimrod and takes Adam's skins. This is the stuff in the book of Yasher. So people say today that, oh, we have the book of Yasher. But do they ever really read it? Yasher 36, 30, and 35 says, terrible animals from the wilderness came.
120.
It says 120 terrible animals from the wilderness came to the asses of Anon. Their shape was from the middle downward of the children of man, and from their middle upward, some of their likeness of bears, some kefirs with tails behind them from between their shoulders, reaching down to the earth.
Ridiculous.
That's the book of Yasher.
Is that like a fairy tale?
How about this one? Yasher 61:15. Zipho kills beasts, half man and half animal. From the middle upward, it resembled a man, and from the middle downward, it resembled an animal.
That's ridiculous.
Here's Yasher 67:8:52. Balaam, Job, and Reuel in Egypt at the same time. Raul takes Joseph's stick and returns to Midian. What does it say? I mean, this is just talk about, and that's why we don't read the Apocrypha, which is preserved by the Catholic Church, because there's so many fairy tales there and made up stories. Anyway, look at what it says right here. At age 3, Moses puts Pharaoh's crown on his head. That's Yasher 71-33. How about King Moses of Cush raises stalks to devour serpents that guard city? And anyway, I'm just going to pass this up. But, you know, it's obvious that the book of Yasher is certainly not scriptural or inspired. So anyone who thinks you have the book of Yasher today, you must be kidding. If somebody said, I'm just bringing this up to you in case somebody says, well, we have the book of Yasher. And you say, did you really read that? And, you know, you could show them this website and show them other things. And that also goes, here's some other stuff about the book of Yasher, but I'm not going to really read that to you. And then we have the fraudulent book of Enoch that's circulating nowadays, because there is no book of Enoch. I doubt Enoch's before the flood. I doubt he had a copy. Noah had a copy in his back pocket when he made it to the other side. Anyway, the book of Enoch we have today teaches heresy. Next time for that one. So that's enough of that. And beware of pseudepigrapha, which is basically the text whose claimed authors is not the true author, or work whose real author attributed to it a figure of the past. Information in these books are contrary to the KJV Bible. So, and there's hundreds of misleading books, DVDs, and websites to deceive you today.
Yes.
So be careful of that also. And that's why we read just the simple King James Version. It's the only Bible that's not copywritten. It's the only one we know that was from the Textus Receptus, the Greek, and the Masoretic text, the actual Hebrew, the Ben Chaim Hebrew. So what shall I say more? Just like Apostle Paul says. So what shall we say more? The time would fail me or fail us today to speak of Gideon, or of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Remember, it's all about faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So these are actual real events of people that, like I said, ventured their life unto death. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and of scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin, goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. So in closing, we in the 21st century continue on with the testimony that there is an eternal God of Israel and an eternal life for all, whether good or evil. Everyone's going to have eternal life one day. Revelation 22:6 says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets, and had sent his angel, right? Behold, he says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. Then he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. It's the same message which we have to say today. And my reward is with me to give every person according to their work shall be. He is the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Amen. Blessed are they that do his commandments, the same story from the beginning, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city, for without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. Remember, you people out there, whenever they might live a lie and know it, but they won't die for a lie. I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that hears say, Come, and let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every person that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone takes it, shall add unto these things, God's going to add unto you the plagues that are written in this book. And if any person takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God's going to take away your part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and out of the things that are written in this book. And to make a long story short, he that testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. And we all say, Even so, come, Lord Yeshua. Amen. Shabbat shalom. And I hope you enjoyed this study today. I might have went fast, but just to show you that there's more witnesses that I could ever explain and more people that I could ever discuss and more stories and events. And we got so, I believe the Tanakh has almost 900 or more chapters, and the rest of the Gospels and letters are just inundated with chapters of things for you to read, and we have a whole lifetime, you know. So I hope you got something out of this study. Let me just hope you enjoyed this today. It sort of came to me. I see a person with a red dot there. I don't know who they are. Anyway, thank you for being here today, and I don't know if the study was long or short, or I don't even know what time it is. Average, huh? Well, same time. It's always an hour. Well, may God bless you today, and may God bless the rest of the Shabbat. May God heal us and strengthen us and be with us and rebuke Satan away from us in Yeshua's name on your holy Sabbath. May God help every one of us and bless the singing, the food, anything we do, Father. Be with us in a special way, and we thank God for everything that you do and the things that we're not even aware of that you do for us, Father. Bless and anoint this day. Lead, guide, and direct us. Give us the words to speak to people and show us exactly what you want us to tell them. And I thank God for forgiveness of sins through the blood of Yeshua. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we praise and thank God for Yeshua and his blood and the word of God made flesh. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. And may God be with you. Amen. I'm going to stop the audio.